I got saved at 7, not knowing what it was, but the Lord kept me. I think I would have been a wild, crazy woman had I not gotten saved at 7, because I was tad wild enough being saved at 7, but not really being in church, not really knowing God's word. I actually went to a church where they didn't open the Bible, literally. I mean, I grew up in church somewhat. My parents dropped us off, and they came Christmas and Easter. And church, honest to goodness, was a hymn, Old Testament scripture, one line, New Testament scripture, one line. And the pastor would talk about 20 minutes about anything he wanted to, had nothing to do with the Word of God. And then there was another hymn, then another Old Testament one scripture, New Testament one scripture, then a benediction and tithe and offering in there somewhere. And you're out the door. It's about a 45-minute thing. And they change pastors every, as soon as you start to like one, they would change them. So anyway, I really grew up kind of in church, but having no idea how real it all is. No idea that the word meant anything. And so the first time I think I ever really called on the Lord was I used to work at a radio station, and it was very close to like that television show WKRP in Cincinnati. I mean, it was probably worse where I worked. It was little town. John and I lived in Patuxent, Maryland. They say it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. And the other bumper sticker is the best way to see St. Mary's County is in your rearview mirror. So anyway, and it was a really small town. And so anyway, and I worked at the radio station, and they made me sales manager of these two little stations. And there came a time when they put a manager in, just like in between really hiring a manager. And she was the receptionist secretary, and she was horrible at managing, very power hungry, it was really terrible. And so she really let the salespeople have it, because salespeople at that job had a really good job. I mean, we didn't work all that much, and as long as we brought in the money, everybody was happy with us until she took over. And during that season, I used to write everything down. I had to throw these away, and I'm serious. On one page, I'd be cussing. I mean, literally, this blankety-blank place, what do they think, blah, 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 blah. And then the next line, I'd be saying, oh, God, would you help me? God, would you help me get through this? Get me another job. You know, help me with this. I can't stand living here. I can't stand this. And then I'd cuss, and then I'd talk about, and, you know, I love the faithfulness of God, because God looks at the issues of the heart. And I'm telling you, as parents, look at the issues of the heart. Always look at the issues of the heart. If there's something going on in your children's life, quit trying to change the behavior. Ask God, what is the issue of the heart that's causing rebellion? What's the issue of the heart in your own life? Lord, what's the issue of my heart that I'm not hungry for God anymore? What's the issue of my heart that I'm afraid to tithe? What's the issue of my heart that I don't trust you? What's the issue of my heart? And so God always sees everything through the issues of the heart. So even when I was sitting there writing cuss words in my journal about the place and being very, I'm sure, needed some sanctification, you know what I mean? Never even heard that word once in my life, really, till I started preaching here myself before I ever even heard that word. And then the next line, and the scripture I used to call upon God during that time, and I really read the scripture. I didn't read the Bible regular. I don't even know how I got to this scripture, to be honest with you. I don't have a clue, because I wasn't one who read my Bible. I didn't even have an actual Bible with a translation. I had like the, you know, one that somebody paraphrased. Something they gave it to us in our church when you graduated high school or something. But this was a scripture that somehow I got a hold of. And I would really study the scripture, and I would speak the scripture. And I really believe it was the Lord beginning to capture my heart to love his word. And from this, the Lord, you know, I quit that job. And then, you know, John and I started a family. And that's when I really got into the Lord. When I was carrying Lauren, I was pregnant with Lauren, I got so hungry for God. But if I look at it, I actually got fed up with the world and trying to deal with world problems at the job right before I get pregnant with my daughter. And so that whole time of being pregnant with Lauren just drew me close to the Lord for some reason. I know it was his timing. Of course, his timing is the day we're born, amen? But I know it was his season for saying, this is what I'm going to pull her in if she'll let me. This is what I'm going to pull her in, you know? And so this is a scripture, Proverbs 3:1, except it was daughter, but my daughter, do not forget my laws, but let your heart keep my commands, for they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Mercy and truth will not forsake you. Put them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now that part was right before what he gave me. But really look at that. He's saying to us, don't forget who he is. Don't forget his ways. Don't forget his word. Keep your heart focused on what God says first. Keep your heart focused on what God says. And he'll give you long life and you're going to have peace. Remember his mercy. Mercy is when God gives you the opposite of what you should be getting. You ask for mercy when you've really messed up, okay? You ask for mercy when you know that you know you should be fired from your job. You ask for mercy when you know that you know. See, if we're in denial or blaming everyone else, we can't really go to the Lord and say, God, I need mercy in this situation. And he's amazing. I mean, I learned mercy when I wrecked John's car for like my car into his car like the third or fourth time. And I really asked for mercy because I totally destroyed his, what was it, 240Z or something. I didn't even know a car could crumble into so many little pieces, that fiberglass stuff. And he loved that car. I'm just glad I didn't kill him because anyway, we went down the back of our driveway was on a hill. Next thing I hear this big crash. I didn't know he hadn't already gone to work. Anyway, and I don't know if I got mercy then. I just know he didn't kill me. So that was nice. But one time I ran to his car and I said, God, give me mercy. And so I learned to cry out for mercy. When this is dumb. I shouldn't have done that. Okay? And we need to learn about mercy. Mercy is when that was dumb. You messed up. You deserve to be fired. You deserve that person to walk out of your life. You deserve it. And then you ask for mercy. Mercy is like a repentance. Even in the wanting mercy, there's repentance. Mercy is a really down to the place. God, I need your mercy. And you don't beat yourself up over stuff, okay? Because he's an awesome God, he doesn't ask me to beat myself up over stuff. He asks me to ask for mercy. He asks me to ask for mercy. God, I shouldn't have done this. This has made a mess. And he asks for mercy. Ask for mercy. And he'll give you mercy. And ask for wisdom. And he'll give you wisdom to fix the mess you probably got yourself in. Mercy and truth will not forsake you. His truth, his word, his ways. When you go to him in with mercy. I mean, Lord, I've messed up. I don't understand this. My relationship is messed up. This is hurting this. My child, whatever it is, don't blame anybody else. My gosh, if you can get past the blaming someone else, you can be your situation will change. If you can quit blaming anyone else, that's codependency, folks. That's enabling. That's a bunch of mess. Don't blame anyone else. Lord, I need your mercy. I need your mercy. I got into this mess and I need mercy. And he said, mercy and truth. I need your truth. What does your word say about this? What, I mean, seriously, don't even run to people for counsel till you run to his word. It's so easy anymore with all the ways you could just type in a word check and it'll bring up all the scriptures. Everyone can study the word so much easier now than before. He says, and they'll never forsake you. And he says, time to remember them. Keep them in your heart. Study his word and put it in your heart. He says, and you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, favor means you're going to shine greater than someone else. Favor, when my son was going for this one job, and there would be a lot of applicants and probably some very many more qualified as far as work experience. And I said to Michael, I said, ask for favor. And I prayed over him, favor. Favor is the thing that makes you stand out and nobody knows why. You know, when we walk with this awesome God, we can ask for favor, not witchcraft where I pray somebody's will that they do. You know, no, Lord, give me favor in this. Give me favor. If this is what you have for me, if I'm called, give me favor. Whatever the thing is you're asking God for, ask for favor. If you're going to put in for a house or whatever, ask for favor. Favor is really saying, God is my God. I serve God. I believe God. Therefore, I get favor. Whoa, I get favor with God and man. With God and man. I want God's favor on my life. I want his favor on my life. And God starts giving us favor even when we're still young and cursing. Even when we're still young in the Lord and sinning. And we don't even know it's sin necessarily. I love this God who is so much bigger than our self-righteous ways of thinking. Amen. God knows right where you're at. He doesn't want, now if you're really serving the true God and walking with the true God, you will start to see sin the way he sees sin. You will start to you won't even recognize yourself after a while. You really won't. You have to actually stop and think, wow, I used to cuss like that. Wow. Mainly in writing, I didn't cuss a lot out loud. It was in-work cussing. I had an in-work cussing thing. And my in-work cussing is gone. Amen? Amen. And then this is the part that really, really got to me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All of your heart. Your heart is like your soul, your emotions. It's who you are personality-wise. God, I'm going to trust in you. And I used to say this when I was asking the Lord to get me through this time and help me to know what to do job-wise and help me to know what to do. I hardly knew the Lord back then, so little things were big to me. You know, the less you know the Lord and the less you walk with him, the little things are very tormenting. But they're real. The torment's real. The fear is real. The wondering how you're going to handle things, it's all real. And that's why the Lord says, trust in me. Trust in me. How do you learn to trust in somebody, guys? How do you learn to trust in somebody? You get to know them. You get to know them. Bitterness is where Satan comes in and lies about God to you and blames God for something the enemy has done. And then it's hard to trust God. God's not asking you to trust the devil. He's not asking you to trust. It's dumb to trust the devil. Okay? When evil happens, it really is the handiwork of the enemy. Could you understand, whether your eyes can get it or not, whether you can see in the spirit realm or not, there really are angels and demons and this invisible God. He's a spirit. Amen? It's real. And so you can have Karen, who has a strong gift of discerning of spirits and has a seer anointing, she's literally seen demons with her eyeballs, spirit of death. She'll describe them. They're very ugly. And I know Sarah one time was at a meeting and literally with her eyes saw an angel. You know, that was in the room that everyone else couldn't see. God, and that's in scripture where God will open your eyes to the spirit. So it's so very real. It's what Mark was talking about last Sunday, that this, you know, he just really, this man was talking about how God opened his eyes and he saw these big, powerful angels. And so we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And this is a part some of us really need. Lean not to your own understanding. Wow. Because my own understanding back then was, I didn't like where I was living. I didn't like this job position. I didn't like, at that time, John had a schedule where he was gone. He was gone sometimes, a long time. He was kind of back and forth between California and our home. And so he was gone a lot, and he worked long hours and flew a lot. And there was just so many things going on that I really couldn't handle. It was the only time in my life that I almost went through a depression. That's probably what brought me to the Word of God. But it was like, lean not on my own understanding. I had to make myself not lean on my own understanding. I had to make myself not try to figure it out. I had to make myself not say, oh, this is so bad, or this isn't going to work, or how is this going to do? And it applies even today, amen? Lean not on your own understanding. You will live in fear. You will live in doubt. You will live in worry if you're leaning on your understanding. But trust God. Lean not to your own understanding. And here's the key steps. I've got to trust God. So I'm going to develop a real relationship with God according to his word. I'm going to believe what he says about himself and his word over what has happened to me, over what has happened to others. Okay? If something bad has happened to someone, it's the enemy's attack. And for whatever reason, that person was not able to hear from God to get the victory. Amen? That's no condemnation in Christ, but it's a real warfare. Anybody, I've never been on the battleground. I'll never want to go on the battleground, but we probably have a few people in here who've ever been in the military, been on the battleground, or if you've ever played tech, there's unexpected things that you weren't expecting that jump up, that can happen, that catch you off guard. It's real warfare. There's really unexpected strategies and attacks to come against you that catch you off guard. And when that happens, you lean not on your understanding. And you have to trust God and his word. I mean, you need to be so diligent to take his word and believe his word and live his word. His word is life, you guys. His word is life. Not what you think, not what some other author writes if it's not about his word. It's his word. Boy, I just love his word. He said, so we trust him. In all of your ways. How many of your ways? All. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I had to literally start to say, okay, Lord, I acknowledge you in this job. I acknowledge you in this situation. For BFA, I acknowledge you in this church, Lord. I acknowledge you in my son's life. I acknowledge you in my marriage. I acknowledge you. That means I get it. God is in this thing. God is in this thing. I acknowledge him in this. I put him in the middle, of this. I put him right in the middle, right in front of this. Lord, this is your church. What do you want to do? Lord, this is the marriage you brought together. What do you want to do? Lord, this is the home you've given me. What do you want us to do? Lord, this is the job you've given me. What do you want to do? Acknowledging him. It's when we walk away from acknowledging him and we lean on our own understanding that the enemy comes in and just, you don't even have to have the enemy. Just the world by itself has tons of trouble. What we have that other people don't have is we have a God who says, trust in me and acknowledge me. Whatever things you do not acknowledge him in, you leave him out of. Whatever things you do not acknowledge him in, you have made a choice to leave him out of. Sometimes you think, well, that's not that important. He says, anything that concerns you concerns me. That's the kind of God I have. That's the kind of Abba God I have. That's the kind of daddy God I have. Cindy, whatever concerns you concerns me. True intercession is when something concerns you that's not personally about you, and it begins to be in your heart to care. And then you take that to the Lord and you're interceding for something that's not just about you. And God comes in agreement with you. Wow, you're concerned about this. I'm concerned about this. I'm going to move in this situation. Think if all of us would begin to be concerned about the things in other people's lives. And we would sow that kind of prayer into other people's lives. And we would reap it in our own lives. Think if the body would begin to be more about the things of the spirit than the things of busyness. So I acknowledge him. And I used to sit there because I hardly knew God back then, okay? I mean, I'm cussing on one page, all right, of the journal I'm keeping. And then I'm writing the scripture down on the next page. Didn't even faze me back then that there was something wrong with that. Didn't even faze me. And it didn't faze God. It didn't faze him because this is a baby. She's been born since 7, but she doesn't know my word. She's been born since 7, but she's an infant. She can be tossed from here to there. Back then, I was so ignorant, I didn't believe in hell. Got fired from my first ministry job because I taught all the teenagers there were no hell. Couldn't understand why they were upset when they said they didn't need me to come back. I thought Oprah was smarter than the Bible back then. I mean, high-minded. Oh, God. Because I thought he's so nice. God is so nice, there can't be a hell. And I think it's great that we can get saved without being afraid of hell. Amen? But the truth is the truth. His word is truth. You don't change it trying to defend God. He's okay about that he created a hell. He's very confident in who he is and how he does things. He used to tell me, Cindy, you don't have to defend me. I'm okay. So, I mean, I'm just amazed at the faithfulness of God. I'm just amazed. He doesn't require the same understanding. If you don't have the understanding, he's not expecting you to. He just wants you to grow up. He just wants you to grab on wherever you're at. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what happens if you do this? If you trust in him and quit leaning on your own understanding, and in all your ways, acknowledge him, he shall direct your paths. He shall make a way. This is a goofy thing, but it's okay because I tell you my goofy stuff. I looked everywhere for rugs for our house. Everywhere. I bought some rugs home. I brought these rugs home. I dragged them around. I went here and there, found a good price, did this and that. I was literally wasting so much time that I should have been spending with God. And I finally gave it up. I said, I'm tired of looking at rugs. I don't even care if we get a rug. You know, John could care less if we have rugs or not. I'm over this rug thing. I've wasted too much time looking at kitchens and too much time looking at rugs. And God, I give this whole house to you. I give this whole thing to you. I'm not leaning on my understanding. I know you gave me this house. I know you want it to be nice. You tell the woman to be busy at home. I'm trying. Besides dishes and laundry and vacuuming and cleaning bathtubs, I'm trying to be the decorator wife.